Welcome to our podcast for college Catholics, where we discuss faith and spirituality from a Catholic perspective. I'm Father Patrick. Today we will look at one of the Beatitudes, the one I like most. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. And that's from St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. We were created to know, to love and serve God, our Lord, and to live with Him forever in heaven. Heaven is the place where we will have perfect fulfillment of all our desires, perfect happiness, perfect joy, and perfect peace for all eternity, without shadow or fear, and without any concern of ever losing that state of happiness. And at the essence of that eternal happiness, there's the contemplation of God, that is the vision of God, which leads immediately to the perfect love and perfect union with God. As St. Augustine says, in the city of God, there in heaven, we shall rest and see. We shall see and love. We shall love and praise. Behold what will be at the end without end. For what other end do we have, if not to reach the kingdom which has no end? And in this beatitude, our Lord promised that vision of God to those who are pure of heart. So God calls you to happiness, to eternal joy, to the beatitude of heaven. But what is interesting, or if you want, unique, is that it is a happiness that can, to some degree, be obtained already in this life, on this side of death, we could say. So God begins to fulfill His promise of beatitude already in this life. You don't have to wait until heaven to begin to experience the fulfillment of God's promise. Now, one underlying aspect I think that is important, a principle that I think is key for your spiritual life, is that all the promises of the Beatitudes, and especially this possibility of contemplating or seeing God, all these promises are gifts of God. And this is particularly true with regard to entering the presence of God and seeing God in heaven. Man cannot work his way into heaven. You cannot explore and find on your own the way to see God. We cannot get to God through man-made religions, man-made techniques. Heaven, the vision of the Holy Trinity, union with God, is entirely a gift of God. God has to give it to you for you to have it. And this is precisely why you should never despair of salvation. You shouldn't despair of ever obtaining holiness, because it depends more on God than on you. Of course, we have to follow the path that God wants for us to obtain that happiness, that vision of God. But on your part, you have to desire it. You have to ask for it. You have to plead day in and day out for that gift from God that is God Himself. And in this particular case, we absolutely know that God wants to give you that vision, that salvation of heaven. And at the same time, this same thing applies to this purity of heart of the Beatitude, which we will be speaking about today. Purity of heart is a gift of God, a grace that you want to ask for, that you need to ask our Lord to give it to you, that purity of heart, to help you remove. He has to help you remove from your heart everything that stains it, whatever becomes a hindrance between you and God. We have to make, of course, an effort, an endeavor, right? We have to try to remove stuff from our heart, all the impurities, if you want. But above all, it has to work. It has to be a work of God in you. So there are aspects of this purity of heart that I'd like to highlight. On the one hand, I think that this beatitude is really at the center of all the spiritual life. And that's why I wanted to speak about it first and today. In fact, I'd say that it is of the essence of our spiritual life, this purity of heart. When you grow in your purity of life, the presence of God in you becomes more powerful. You begin to see God in all things, and your faith and love for our Lord starts to grow exponentially. This is why trying to achieve this purity of heart could be one of the most important things you could do in this life. I don't think that there is anything of this world, like studies or friendships, relationships, jobs, business, grades, enjoyment, possession, whatever you want of this world, that is as important for your life in this world and in the next than to grow in purity of heart. So it's essential for the spiritual life. Now, on the other hand, having a pure heart in the sense that our Lord speaks about in this beatitude will give you a very profound awareness of the will of God for you. And therefore, it will be for you a great help for whenever you want to make a decision, whenever you want to discern the will of God in your life. This purity of heart helps give you a better spiritual sight, we could say, which will help as a tool for discernment. And in this sense, Pope Francis said something about this in a message on this topic, on the beatitude of Blessed Be the Pure of Heart, on April 2020. He said, "This inner purification implies recognition of the part of the heart that is under the influence of evil. Recognizing the bad part, the part that is clouded by evil, in order to learn the art of always allowing ourselves to be trained and guided by the Holy Spirit. The journey," he says, "from a sinful heart," from a heart that cannot see things well because it is in sin, "to the fullness of the light of the heart is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He is the one who guides us." Up to there, Pope Francis. So let us delve a little bit into the saying of Christ, "Blessed are the pure of heart." So what is the meaning of the heart in Scripture? So first, the heart is a symbol of one's interiority, one's conscience, but also one's affectivity and one's mind. As Pope Francis said in World Youth Day 2015, speaking about this, "In Hebrew thought," he said, "the heart is the center of the affections, thoughts, and intentions of the human person." So in a sense, it is your intelligence, your will, the inmost center of your person. But it's not what you feel about things, not what your irrational passions feel, but what you really want to be, what you choose to be, what you deliberately desire, and what you love freely. A second aspect of this heart, or a second meaning, is that the heart means the intentions that you have when you do things every day, whatever you do, or whatever choices you make. In this sense, the heart is what the Lord is referring to when he says in Matthew 6:23, "If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness." That eye, or the heart of your actions, is your intention, the why you do things. Why you go to class, why you go to a particular party, why you study so much, why you're in that relationship, why you go to the gym, why you dress in a particular way, etc. That intention, that why you do each thing, is part of the meaning of that heart in this beatitude. So what does it mean to have a pure heart? So on the one hand, it means to have a conscience, a will that is without sin, without vices. And as much as we can, without inordinate attachments. That is a conscience and a will that loves God above all. Our sins, our excessive attachment for the things of this world, our selfish loves, meaning our inordinate love for things that are not God, make us see the reality that is around us in a very different way than the truth. It makes us see our life under a different light, many times a negative light. And therefore, it makes us have a perception of reality that is somewhat skewed. And we cannot see God as the source of all happiness and life. We can't identify God's will. And this is the key for our spiritual growth. We must realize that our worst enemy is hidden inside in our heart, in our passions. So one of the greatest interior battles is against the inner deception, the wrong perspective we have of ourselves, of others, and of God. That deception, that inner deception created by vice, by sin, and by the attachments of our heart. Instead, a heart that is pure in this sense is a heart that puts the love of God above all and tries to rid itself of all self-love, of all pride, of all arrogance and greed for wealth or power, and any other inordinate attachment of the heart. A pure heart lives in the presence of God and in the love of God. In that sense, it is simple. And it is truly free, because it is not held back or shackled by any passion or misguided love. It is without sin, and therefore the light of God shines in it, and it can see God's will more clearly. It sees the heart that is without sin, sees God present in the created world around him. And one day, that heart will see God in heaven. As the book of the Imitation of Christ says in book 2, chapter 4, if your heart were right, we could also say pure, then every created thing will be a mirror of life for you and a book of holy teaching. For there is no creature so small and worthless that it does not show forth the goodness of God. If inwardly you were good and pure, you would see all things clearly and understand them rightly. For a pure heart penetrates to heaven and hell. And as a man is within, so he judges what is without. If there be joy in this world, the pure of heart certainly possesses it. So that's the one sense of purity, the first sense of purity of heart. Now there's, on the other hand, purity of heart also means purity of intention. It means to have an intention that is pure, an intention that is, as much as possible, perfectly directed toward God. That is, the why you do all things should be to love God and to glorify God. Whenever we do any action, there is an object, that is the specific action that we do, with its circumstances. And there's also an intention. It's like the soul and the body of any action. The body is the action. The soul is the intention. The intention is the purpose, the why, or if you want more exactly, the what for. What am I doing this for? So in every action that we do, there's a main reason why we do it. Maybe sometimes there are mixed intentions. For example, you can fast, and that's the external action. And you can fast to offer a sacrifice to God. But you could also fast to lose weight. Or you could fast to show your friends that you're fasting. Or to prove to yourself that you're really tough. So while the latter intentions are not completely wrong, they have some degree of imperfection, right? Some are better, some are not so good. And some of them would be better to avoid completely. Now, the most perfect intention is to fast to glorify God, of course. And that's the more pure intention. As another example, we could think about an action that is reading the Bible. You could read the Bible because you're curious about some old literary genre. Or you could read the Bible to pretend that you are devout. Or to learn what God said through the sacred writers so as to be able to serve God better. In this case, the first motivation is indifferent. The second motivation is vain or even deceitful. And the third one is correct, virtuous, and in this sense, pure. So a pure heart in this sense is a heart that of a person that always tries to serve God, not only with the outward action being a good action, but even with the inward intention. And in that sense, the more we can have God and the love of God and the glory of God at all times as the purpose of our actions, then the purer will be our heart. And the freer we will be of any external pressures, for example, the expectations of peoples, the opinions that people have, fashions, appearances, and so forth. So all these things are pressures that typically enslave us to some extent. So when we do things most or exclusively for the glory of God, we cannot become free from all those pressures. And those pressures, expectations, opinions, fashions, appearances, etc., they blur our heart and our mind in our daily lives. In this sense, such a heart will be increasingly more docile. A heart that is pure, right, that is doing things for the will of God, will be increasingly more docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. It will be able to discern the will of God more easily. And therefore, it will be able to see God, see his will more naturally, we could say, more promptly, almost instinctively. In this sense, the Imitation of Christ has some very wise words in the same chapter we read before, Book 2, Chapter 4. And note that Thomas A'Kempis speaks of intention, purity of heart, freedom from inordinate attachments, and finally interior freedom, all in the same paragraph. He says, "A man is raised up from the earth by two wings, simplicity and purity. There must be simplicity in his intention and purity in his desires. Simplicity leads to God. Purity embraces and enjoys him. If your heart is free from ill-ordered affection, no good deed will be difficult for you. If you aim at and seek after nothing but the pleasure of God and the welfare of your neighbor, you will enjoy freedom within." So up to there, the Imitation of Christ. So a quick recap. What are some of the meanings of this purity of heart? First, purity of intention, desire to love and serve God in everything we do, in all of our choices, in all our words, activities, and relationships, to desire to love and serve God. A second meaning, purity of love for God. A pure heart loves God above all, and everything else is loved in God and for God. And that heart that is pure in that sense is free from inordinate attachments. In the third place, a pure heart is a heart that is simple and humble when considering the things of this world around us. It is like a sky, to put a metaphor, right? A sky without clouds, with the sun shining brightly and illuminating everything clearly, a blue, clear sky. That could be a metaphor for a pure heart, a heart that where God is present, where he illuminates the heart. And thanks to him, thanks to that grace of God in us, we can see God in all things. We see God present in all creatures. Now, you may be thinking, what are some ways to grow in this purity of heart? Some more practical things. Very nice of the theory, but more practical stuff we want. So here are some ideas. So first of all, pray and ask God frequently for the grace to be pure of heart. Pray for a greater love for God and for the grace to have always the intention of glorifying our Lord in everything we do. Second, increase your devotion to the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, the Holy Eucharist, because it is the sacrament of love which will increase the love of God in your heart when you receive the sacrament with devotion. A third point would be to examine your conscience daily and check not only whether you did this or that that is right or wrong during the day, but also the intentions for which you do the good things that you do. So ask yourself, am I doing this to serve God, or do I have perhaps any selfish reasons and intentions or vain intentions, etc.? A fourth element, to try to see God present in all things, in the beauty of creation, in the people around you, and especially in the sacraments of the church. This is to have to live more and more in the presence of God throughout the day. And then my final suggestion, try to be attentive to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit within you. Let Him illuminate your heart more frequently. Let Him guide you, direct you. Let Him purify your heart, your emotions, your thoughts, your desires. And as much as you can, try to avoid rejecting those inspirations of the Holy Spirit, especially when they are more clear. In that sense, the help of a regular confessor or a spiritual director will help you distinguish or discern those inspirations that come from God from those inspirations that come from somewhere else. So let me finish with a short quote from The Imitation of Christ in the same chapter that we read before that describes purity of heart briefly and from a little bit of a different perspective. He says, "As iron cast into fire loses its rust and becomes glowing white, so he who turns completely to God is stripped of his sluggishness and changed into a new man." So there he speaks, of course, about the purity of heart. So as we finish this episode, let us say a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, grant us the grace of having a fervent love for you in our heart. Purify our hearts, that they may love you above all, and everything else in you. Purify our intentions, so that everything we do may always be directed towards your greater glory. Grant us the grace to see you in everything around us and in everyone we meet today. Grant that we may serve you with true freedom of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. In the upcoming episodes, we'll continue to look a little bit deeper into the other Beatitudes. Remember to register for the Enkindle Conference for Young Adults in DeWitt, Lansing, Michigan, from September 29th to October 1st. The time is running out, so these upcoming days are essential to sign up. This year's theme will be the Holy Eucharist, the Sacrament of Love. So you can use the link that is in the show notes below in the episode to register and to find more information. Hope to see you next time. May God bless your day.